Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Eric, welcome back to the Dom Giordano Show. Good to have you today.
Hey, Dom.
So, your observations, first night, if you watched the DNC, I'm sure you've seen some coverage of it, putting the current president on at 11:28 at night. Mike, they even had to bump James Taylor to do that.
I mean, listen, it's unbelievable. You know, at one point, so Laura and I were sitting there trying to watch it, and it's tough to watch. I mean, it really is. She just turned around and looked at me, and she goes, "This is so dark. Everything's so dark. Everything about this, you know, I mean, I don't think there's anybody, including the liberal media in this country, that would say that there was anything other than, you know, positivity at the RNC. It was beautiful, right? There's no protests. There's no, you know, people attacking cops. No one's screaming at cops and berating them. I mean, everybody's sitting there holding the American flag. They're singing. You know, they have tears in their eyes. They're so happy. And she looked at me at one point during a couple of the speeches. She goes, "This is all just so dark. It's depressing. And it's true. I mean, it really was. And I mean, I certainly don't think having you know, Joe Biden from a tactical standpoint on at 11:40 o'clock at, you know, 11:40 at night was wise, right? I mean, he doesn't do well at 9 a.m. in the morning, let alone, you know, 11:40 at night. But just overall, I mean, we turned it off after a couple of minutes because it was just, as I said, it was just the whole message was just dark. It was almost unbearable to watch.
Well, it was kind of a celebration of abortion, if you will. I mean, that's the darkness part that you're talking about. Yet the vibe of being joyful, I guess they haven't been to a Trump rally. Those things are pretty fun.
Well, I mean, they had you know, vasectomy vans, you know, driving around Chicago. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's almost hard to make up, but I mean, I always say what this country's been missing over the last 4 years is a cheerleader. And my father was the greatest cheerleader that this country's ever had, right? He'd come off Air Force One at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he'd go up to the, you know, the dais with all the press. You'd have the gaggle of press, and America is the best country on earth, and we can do it better than everybody. We have better economy. We have this. We have that. You know, we're not going to let these countries rip us off. We're going to be the best. We're going to have the best education in the world. We're going to have the best military in the world. We're going to take care of our vets unlike anybody's ever seen. We're going to have the best manufacturing, the best businesses, you know, the lowest taxes, the greatest stock markets, the highest 401ks. You watched last night, and it's none of that. It's just, it's all pessimism. It's as I said, it's just all kind of darkness. And, you know, they didn't bring up the border. I mean, they didn't bring up the fact that 11 million people, you know, have crossed our border. 11 to 13 million people have crossed our border. That's two Scotlands have come into our country in the last 3.5 years. You know, I mean, what about the fentanyl problem in this country? I mean, 300,000 kids died last year. 300,000 kids died to fentanyl last year. And remember, Kamala Harris was the border czar. And, you know, I mean, prices on everything. I love she comes out. And, you know, on day one, my focus is going to be prices. And I'm sitting there saying, I know the White House as well as any human being. Where the hell have you been? I mean, the vice president's office is literally 15 mm-hmm. feet away from the Oval Office, and it's like you've never met Joe Biden before. It's like you haven't been in that building. I mean, how about this? Why don't you start taking care of the price problem right this freaking second? Now, you're still there, right? Take care of the price problem. Do something about it. Do anything about it. But they're incapable of it. I mean, now all they want to do is, you know, sue every company in the country for quote-unquote, you know, she calls it price gouging because she doesn't know how to say gouging, but, you know, for price gouging. And this is crazy. I mean, energy's tripled, gas has tripled, fuel oil has tripled. You know, she wants to double taxes, and then she says that she's going to lower prices. Like, in what capitalist world does that work? I mean, how do you double somebody's taxes, triple somebody's taxes, right, add additional regulation, increase utilities, increase mortgage rates? I mean, people can't even afford to live in a home right now because mortgage rates are so high. How do you do that and then say, you know, I'm going to go after companies and they're going to bring down prices because I'm going to sue them? I mean, man, I mean, it is
dark.
It's unthinkably, you know, stupid. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if you saw this morning. Mark Thiessen, who writes in the Washington Post, talked about what this election's about. Trump years, some of the highest gains in household income. That's what counts in the end. Biden years, the lowest in recorded history. I mean, if we get that message out to people, their own household income, not just day to day, you know, trying to meet the bills, but building up wealth.
Sure. Don't, that's, because how that's do you it. Save?
Yeah.
You know, my
exactly.
father had $1.89 gas, right? Mm-hmm. How do you save when gas is $5, $5.50, depending on mm-hmm. the state? You know, some states far higher than that, but How do you save? When insurance, and remember, the things that have gone up the most are the things that you have no control over, right? That's the scary thing. So home insurance, auto insurance, right? You can't control that. I mean, those are market driven.
And, right.
You know, those have gone up by 60% in this country. Fuel has tripled in cost. Eggs have tripled in cost. I mean, what do you do? Just not eat breakfast? I mean, I guess you could eat Pop-Tarts or something, but, you know, they've tripled in cost too, and they've gotten smaller in size because of inflation. I mean, but think about the things you can't control. Look at people's mortgages, as I said, right? I mean, not only are our houses now unaffordable because inflation has literally driven up prices so high, even the people who are fortunate enough to have bought a house years ago, now they're paying 7-8% interest if you can even get a mortgage on these homes versus my father where you're paying 2.5%. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's huge difference. Now, a lot of people in that situation. So are we going to see Eric Trump out there more campaign events? Or are you going to be doing, you know, behind-the-scenes work, phone calls, the like, across the country?
Yeah. I mean, Don, I've stood on the stage with my father every single day for the last 10 years. I mean, I love the man. Amazing. Yeah, he's the greatest. I mean, he's truly an amazing human being. And I do this stuff all day, every day. The next 80 days, I think, are the most important 80 days in the history of this country, and I really mean that. And we're in an awful place as a country. Our economy's terrible. These policies are terrible. We're being totally overrun. Our systems are corrupted, our institutions are corrupted, our systems are weaponized. It's so terrible, and my father can fix it, and he'll fix it right away. And we got to go back to being number one at everything we do. We need to have the best education. We have to have the best economy. We got to get out of these senseless wars where we're putting hundreds of billions of dollars, into weapon mm-hmm. systems to see kids, young, beautiful kids on in the far side of the world getting absolutely annihilated on both sides of conflict. We've got to stop this stuff. We've got to reinvest in America. We've got to bring this country back to prosperity. And I know we're going to win in November, but believe me, I'm going to be out there every day fighting. Laura's going to be out there every day fighting. So will Don. So will the rest of the family.
Well, absolutely. Pass on to her, too, Eric, that our listeners see such a difference with the RNC, and she's one of the driving forces. We're seeing a lot of election integrity issues bubble up here in Pennsylvania, but the RNC is ahead of it. They're not sneaking them in like they did in 2020. It's due to her efforts and your support there. So people, our listeners, feel that we're on top of stuff here in Pennsylvania.
Well, Pennsylvania is everything. If you win Pennsylvania, you win the country. And so, it's a state that I love. We've all lived there. And, we truly love you, Pennsylvania. And get out and vote. And I promise we'll make you very proud as a family.
Thanks, Eric, very much. Talk with you again soon. Thank you for joining us today.
See you, Dom.
All right, Eric Trump here on Talk Radio 1210. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210. You get on board. I'm going to play you Governor Beshear. I really don't like this guy. His angle of attack, he is making hay, I guess he thinks. He's the guy to tear apart what he thinks is the myth of J.D. Vance. And what he said here is, again, something you shouldn't say. It's a mistake. If a Republican said it, how would we react? So I'm not going to be that guy, but he ought to apologize and say, I really didn't mean I want this to happen. Here's what he said about Vance and what J.D. Vance has said, according to Beshear, about being raped and being impregnated.
I mean, think about what some people have had to go through because of these laws. J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
And make him go through this, meaning being raped and impregnated. Now, I'd love to debate this guy. Dan's going to try to get him on because I am for the exceptions here. You know, I don't have any angle of attack with this guy, but the angle of attack is how radical this guy. Now, how he won in Kentucky is should be for deeper discussion. I'm not sure, given the history in Kentucky, but he did. He's the governor, so they have him out there on the trail because his job is to inflame and go after J.D. Vance. All right, 855-839-1210. We're coming to your calls
hey,
next.
Can I just make it a... Yes. So a couple weeks ago, since right. we're doing this upcoming event with Donald Trump Jr., can't wait for that. It's going to be fantastic. Nick Hill and Don were talking about how you were calling him Don. And shouldn't he be called Donald Trump Jr.?
Yes.
And I think we just heard from a member of the family, Dom.
So will Don, so will the rest of the family.
So will Don. There you go. There now he's a member of the family, so they'll say
he's called
Don. But guess what? I have Eric Trump on. He's calling us, Dan, to come on. He wants a visit. We have Don coming for the event, so I think I'm going to call him Don.
His comfort level does seem very high with you.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand on ceremony. I bet if I asked him, hey, can I call him Don rather than Donald Trump?
So will Don. So will the rest of the family.
There you go. So will Don. He gave us carte blanche. Your eagle eye on that. By the way, that's September 12th. And if you missed it, if you went to 1210WPHT.com or the station's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you'll see there's a big sale going on this now. In other words, a huge, yes, that word fits with the Trumps, discount. A lot of people taking advantage of it because it's going to be a great night. You get the Trump book, Letters to Trump, that we've talked about a lot. And that'll be 2 days after the debate right here in Philadelphia. So it is going to be spectacular. So just go to any of the social media of the station. You'll see the sale. You'll see flash sale. You just put in the promo code, bang. It's a lot that you're able to take off just due to this generous offer. And Scottish Rite is a beautiful venue for this. And I will be saying, Don, come on. Dan would be poking me. Come on. You can't say Donald. You got to be kidding me. He would say, come on, call me Don. So we're going to avoid that and just call him Don right in the beginning. And the Kale.
Don, so will the rest of the family.
Yeah, send that over to the Kale Show. Let them play that tomorrow. That's the night Eagle Eye by Dan there. Don't we all take that as, of course you can call him Don. I mean, why would you go with the Donald type of thing? Well, they do say Donald J. Trump all the time, but they don't never call him Donald.
So will Don.
Yeah. 855-839-1210. You'll get a line. Coming up, we talked a little bit there about Pennsylvania. A judge in Pennsylvania, it's small, you could say it's a small case, it involved Butler County, but it extends. They said, if you send in your mail-in ballot, this goes back to 2022, Butler County, if you don't put it in the secrecy envelope, in other words, you send it in naked, they're not going to count it. And they're exactly right. You know, if you show up and vote, you're inconvenienced, you go through all that. If you want to do the mail-in ballot, you got convenience, but you have to do it correctly. A judge just ruled late yesterday that, no, the people saying that they have to give you a chance to cure the ballot, no, they don't. Another win on this. Now it's going to be appealed, big battle over it. But I'll tell you about Project 25 and what they said about Bookvar, the former Secretary of State. Mark Levin kind of said it, too, and what should have been done here. Here's the question. You heard me with Eric Trump. Based upon conversations with Laura Trump, Whatley, and certainly Linda Kern, Scott Presler, I think here in Pennsylvania, Republicans are on top of it. In other words, you ought to be telling people, look, in any election, we know what they're going to try to do and fail. We know all that stuff. But you should vote. You're going to chill your own vote because Democrats are going to cheat? So it's not worth it? Why go through that? Are you insane? That's exactly what they want. Based upon what I can tell, there's nothing like Zuckerbucks out there this year. They're going to spring on us. They're trying with these doctors taking mental patients and having them register to vote. Is going to be a big fight over that. We're in the ring with them. How much more do you want? Do you want to just lose? Linda Kern spoke at the Trump event. That's a good sign with Trump. I'm still not satisfied that Trump has embraced mail-in balloting. He did it with Sean Parnell. They cut some kind of commercial, but I need more. I need him to say, look, this kills me, but this is what we got to do. It's all about one thing, winning. And this is the way to do it. Point blank, this is the way to do it. Early voting when legal, mail-in balloting, the whole thing. I'll tell you coming up about Bookvar, but I'm convinced the people that we have this time around are armed with resources. They're incredible, Linda Kearns and others. And all things being equal, this is, well, it's certainly not going to be 2020. But if people have the attitude going in, they're just going to cheat anyhow. Why is it worth it? Look at the other side. They've pulled out a sitting president that they were vouching for. They put in someone who has no pedigree, a background of support. They were afraid she'd be a drag on the ticket this time around. And yet, they're gung-ho on this. We need to match that kind of energy, is what I'm saying. Not worry that this could happen or that could happen. I'll tell you what they're worried about in Georgia, though. Another good sign, though. Rachel Maddow said her biggest fear on election night is Georgia. I'll tell you why. Georgia's doing exactly the right thing. Now, we're having trouble doing it here because of Josh Shapiro. Josh Shapiro is speaking tonight in prime time, so we'll have a lot on that tomorrow. But let's have the debate with this party of Hunter Biden and the Chinese, Joe Biden and the Chinese, about whether or not we want somebody that is this cozy with the communist Chinese to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. So here's Comer from Kentucky, the guy that heads up a lot of the judiciary and all that. Whatever Jim Jordan does, and he's got the other. Here's what he said with Jesse last night about walls and communist China.
Congressman, how is it that the FBI doesn't seem to care about this at all, and you do?
Well, it's very concerning that the FBI, to my knowledge, has never even investigated this. Now, we're still trying to determine what extent they have as far as all the trips this high-level official from the United States government, even before that in the military, made to China. Look, if you look at Waltz's background and you look at his ideology and the things he talks about when he ran for attorney general, when he ran for governor, this is a guy that really has embraced China's view of the world, the Chinese ideology, which is communism. And I think you look at Waltz, and I fear we have a guy who's never been in the private sector. He's worked for the government his whole life. From looking at his financial background, it doesn't look like he owns any stocks. You know, his retirement's in a government pension plan. This guy's very dependent on the government, and I believe he thinks that China, the business model that China's had, might be the ideal model for the United States. Let the government make the decisions for the people. Let the government control the markets. Let the government control the businesses. Let the government get the people out of poverty. And this is something that should be a concern to every American. The media is not examining this. I don't think
And you know about China, Congressman. You did this when you looked into Hunter. When you go to China, they surveil you. If an American goes to China 30 times in the 90s, they have surveillance footage of him. They have surveillance footage probably of his honeymoon night. What kind of compromise is that? They were worried about Trump and a P-tape situation. That was all made up. This is serious business.
It's very serious. China thinks long term. It's very possible that China would be grooming an up-and-coming rising star in the political process to try to have a foothold in our government. I mean, they've done this in the military. We've caught them with spy rings in our universities. This is how China operates. They think long-term.
All right, Dan, we got the point. Thank you. So that's Comer, and that's Jesse Waters last night. Again, you know, I'm going to go overboard with Walls here, but how many days it was since this guy's been nominated? There is not much appetite in the media. Now, if they don't like the stolen valor, they want to dismiss that, even though there's real stuff there. This is unusual, this guy's pattern with China. The things he said, the visits, honeymooning in China, it's all something that you want to get him on the record. What does he think about this stuff?
What happened with Fang Fang?
Yeah, she went back to China. And Swalwell is more, what about him? He's still there.
I'm looking, it's May, last they report on it, May 23rd, 23, concluded a two-year investigation into Eric Swalwell's interaction with a suspected Chinese spy and determined that it will take no further action.
Yeah. She went back as far as I know. Yeah. And the broader point is they are the enemy. How could someone this close to the presidency be consorting with the communist Chinese in this matter? I mean, is there any doubt? It tells us maybe America doesn't see it that way. Maybe they think, they might be adversarial here or there. What do they have to do? We saw what they did during COVID. We know exactly what they did. We've seen what they've done with their own people. We know about the Uyghurs. Just think of the elements that don't want to speak out on this.
So through the results of that investigation with Christine Feng and Swalwell, yeah. Swalwell did indeed confirm that the FBI informant that he was targeted by the Chinese intelligence operative, but it was clear that he cooperated with law enforcement immediately, and that's why he was accused of no wrongdoing. But as you say, I mean, there's proof here that Chinese nationals are targeting politicians. Eric Swalwell is one of those that was targeted, and could it be that... You know, Walls is stupid enough or, quote, relatable enough to be convinced? I don't know.
Right. And we still don't know because, look, he ran in Minnesota. Who knows the scrutiny there? It's not like the scrutiny here nationally. The area for Vance to prosecute, stolen valor, I get it. We're all enraged by that. China is a much bigger issue with this guy. This guy is way out there on this. The number of trips, the indoctrination, the students bringing there, some of the comments he's made, the honeymooning there. He's got to be asked again and again and again, locked down with follow-ups, which is, what do you think of the Communist Chinese Party? What do you think of their government? Make it open-ended in the beginning. See where he goes, and then be ready to pounce and come back to it again and again and again. What's the defense? Is he going to say, we're tired of this. The Chinese are good people. Is he going to try that line of attack? I don't think that's going to work with Americans. Part of it, we've never had the day of reckoning. The media and others have glossed past the fact they made it difficult, even with Fauci. Where did this come from? What was the methodology? In our heart of hearts, we know what they were up to. We know their noncompliance. We know they would do it again in a heartbeat. They would do anything to bring us down. Literally anything. They'll do anything under any circumstance at any time. And it's difficult. We are enmeshed with them. They are big time, just as something as simple as the NBA. Let's just go back. LeBron James telling us to shut, Charles Barkley more so, shut up. There's billions of dollars involved here. Suddenly, all these guys that want to tell us about what to do in America, they want to play ball because they have a billion people who love basketball. I get it, but look at who you're dealing with here. We shut down the Major League All-Star Game in Atlanta. Why? Because Georgia Republicans got sensible election reforms put in. So in 2024, they can't steal the election in the manner, or at least the perceived manner, of what they did in 2020. To that point, the Georgia State Election Board on Monday adopted a rule that requires a number of ballots and voters to be the same before they're going to certify election results. The rule ensures that counties comply with Georgia State Code. It comes after Fulton County was found to have likely scanned thousands of ballots twice in a recount of the 2020 election. The purpose of the rule is to ensure that county superintendents, boards of elections follow the required procedures and can uniformly, properly, and lawfully fulfill their duties. The rule is built on basic kindergarten math, Election Integrity Network founder Cleta Mitchell said Monday. Count the number of voters. Confirm the number of voters, match the number of ballots. So in Georgia, which is going to be... Excuse me, Dan?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, nothing. I was just asking you if you had anything there. That's all.
No, sorry. Yeah. I had a technical snafu there. Sorry about that. What'd you just say? Say it again one more time.
Oh, no. I just thought you had something. What is happening?
I'm over here. My headphones switched over because I just found some audio of Tim Walz talking about his ties to China. That's
oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Let's hear Tim Walz in
China. And as I said, I've been there about 30 times. I don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship.
An adversarial relationship? They're the enemy. How have we come to this point where we can't say that clearly? What, do you want to go back to the anti-commie days? Yes, the communists are always the enemy under every circumstance. So Russia is the enemy also. I don't care what Trump or anybody wants to call me says about that. They're the enemy. Putin is stone cold evil. He would kill any one of us with plutonium and laugh about it. I get having to deal with him. And I get having to deal with the Chinese, but they are the enemy. And they're a much more aggressive, powerful enemy. And each day they grow beyond Russia as a world force. That's obvious. Walz says it doesn't have to be adversarial. Now, right there, Dan, thanks for finding
it. I have more of that.
Yeah. One second. We have to continue to follow up. And in the debate, this is what Vance ought to talk about. Stolen valor, okay, got it. Tell us more why China doesn't have to be adversarial. What is it we should be doing with China, in your view? And then you got to be ready for the follow-up on top of the follow-up. He'll say some broad thing. And put it before the American people. Are we this inured of all the cheap stuff we get from China that we can't say plainly they are an existential threat to our existence? That's what they are. Here's a little bit more.
I don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship. I totally disagree, and I think we need to stand firm on what they're doing in the South China Sea. But there's many areas of cooperation that we can work on. And when I was in China this past November, I got to have supper with their agricultural minister and talked about the issues. And some of the issues that were facing him were the same things facing us. GMO labeling, some of the issues of lower land prices or for lower commodity prices as land prices rose. And I think it's critically important, and I think that is an overlap. Why? That's a human rights focused commission. It has opened, I think, channels of collaboration that I've been able to talk to the Chinese, because when we're on the same sheet of music, the world's, you know, two of the world's great superpowers, there's many collaborative things we can do together. So I'm hopeful on that, because China's got 1.3 billion people to feed, and we're glad to produce food that they can buy, and I think that can strengthen our relationships.
Yeah, well, how about the Uyghurs? Okay. How about COVID?
Come on. Human rights?
Yeah, human rights. Talking about human rights with the Chinese. It's like that BlackRock guy standing in. Remember when they were in San Francisco? They stood on the chairs and they were giving a standing ovation to the Chinese dictator.
Yeah.
I get it that we got to deal with these people. But is that the mechanism? This guy, the gibberish? Well, it doesn't have to be adversarial. Adversarial, it's way beyond being an adversary. They're an enemy. What do they have to do? And I realize it's difficult because of all the intertwining stuff that goes on here. 855-83. And Dan, I spoke at Drexel, the friend of the show, wanted me to speak to his class. And I didn't want to do a ruffle there because it was class, so I was a bit restrained, but it was at the height of the China thing and all. And she said, that's not true. And rather than saying, are you kidding me? I said, tell me what's not true. And she said something, and I said what I thought. You got to be kidding me, was my real response deep down. And we're going to have it out right here. You're here in America, you're a foreign student here and all the rest of it. Don't tell me about that. Tell it to the Uyghurs. God, well, we're talking human rights here as we're sitting in a powwow.
Tell it to anyone with a dissenting opinion about the government.
Yeah, the Tiananmen Square guy or the COVID doctor who told us about COVID.
There instead.
And let's ask Walls, where's the COVID guy? Where's the guy in Tiananmen Square? You went there on your honeymoon. What happened to that guy? Phone lines are 855-839-1210. They're both enemies. There's no doubt about it. I get it. They're too big that you have to posture with them. But at the end of the day, they are the enemy. We used to say that, Ronald Reagan, Soviet Union, right? I don't fully understand the surge with Swift to ungodly levels. And two, it's a tired theme. How many times can you do this? What's she doing for fodder now that she's with one guy for now? Who knows? And we're not going to hear about the guy and how bad he was. You know, the usual MO with this. What's her fodder going to be now? Happiness? I mean, it's a happy beat, but it's certainly not happiness, right?
Children?
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays. I just think it's got to be, what her stock and trade is. Really well-produced, well-developed angst. People love angst. Apparently, our fans do.
I thought you said eggs at first.
Angst. Okay. You know, there's always that angst that goes on.
I mean, she already did with kind of the most album. It's very, somber and slow and breathy.
All right, let's go to Bill in Monco. Bill's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment before the side question.
Sure.
That Harris's economic plan on Friday was calling tariffs Trump's idea of a tax. Well, of course, if we don't put tariffs on the Chinese, that helps out the Chinese. So that kind of fits with this whole pro-Chinese walls, construct that you were just talking about, and that's even in Harris's economic plan.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I am not pro-tariff ordinarily, but with the Chinese, it was allowed to go so far. What Trump did, I think, was more targeted. I wouldn't support going beyond that, but you're right, Bill. They've just taken advantage of us tremendously over the years. It's almost criminal. Who's your famous Irish American?
Yeah, the Yankee Doodle Dandy himself, James Cagney. I know that's like a way back machine, but I still think he counts.
Oh, sure. He counts, James Cagney. Good point, too, on the tariffs thing with Trump. I'm not sure what Trump is thinking about it overall. What he did with China really needs a lot of difficulties to be remedied here. But again, when we get to the debates with Vance and Walz, that's the area I would stick on. Whatever they ask me, whatever, you know, the Newt Gingrich, I'm going to answer that. But I just want to tell you, this is the existential threat. We got to hear more of that to wake people up with what we're up against here. And they're playing the long game and the short game at the same time. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem. Hey, Robert, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, Dan, it's good to talk to you guys today. I do have a couple quick observations about the DNC, which I call the dysfunctional national convention. Okay. Republicans are more likely to love their neighbor. Today's liberals are more likely to snitch on their neighbor.
Yeah.
As far.
Yeah.
And while I think that the abortion mill on wheels is just absolutely disgusting, I kind of think that the vasectomy vans might not be a bad idea. Although that I would submit to you that half these beta liberals were probably born vasectomized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but again, isn't joyful, you look toward the future, and for anybody normal, that means at some point in their life, the biggest expression of the future is having kids. And all this all this vasectomy stuff hardly seems joyful on several levels to me, right?
Well, it's not joyful to anybody but people on the right who realize it will probably result in less liberal babies. But that's not, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if you heard this, but it was reported on Fox. There is a big restaurant sports bar outside of Pittsburgh called the Privanti Brothers Market. Okay, it's very popular. It's like their version of the Melrose Diner was back in the day, right?
Right, yep.
So people are sitting there on Sunday watching the Pirates game, drinking beer, eating with their friends, and the restaurant kicks everybody out at 4 o'clock for a private event. So when the people are leaving, they see Kamala Harris's and Tim Walz's bus come in, and it's followed by two other buses that are filled with actors who pretended to be diners in the restaurant while she milled through them and related to the people. This is an astroturf, media-driven campaign, and there is no way it's going to win. They have to get Megan Thee Stallion to get people to show up at their rallies. Trump needs nobody. I mean, Trump goes into restaurants in Athens, Georgia, and bodegas in New York, and he doesn't clear it out so he can bring in his people. I mean, this is just a joke, Dom. I don't know what else to say.
And you know, and that restaurant in Pittsburgh, I bet there's going to be blowback, Robert. You're right. Two busloads of actors. Look, if she brought in some people that are with her to make her feel, and then the normal people there, that's one thing. Trump does it better than nobody else. Most of these guys can't go into a Wawa. Mitt Romney, remember when he came to the Wawa and he started talking about the Wawas have this device where you click on it? Oh, my God. Trump is second to none politically. The only one I know who could do it, too, still is Bill Clinton. Those are the two that can go into something like this, and there's no problem. All right, we have to play out, Dan. If Taylor Swift shows up and performs, oh my goodness, what's the backlash going to be? Any?
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.